This week on Daily Hope, we're talking about your worldview, those sets of beliefs that you base your life on. Now, knowing your worldview is important if you want to follow Jesus, because if you have the wrong perspective on life, you're going to miss God's plan for your life. You can either choose your plan or you can choose God's plan, but you can't choose both. When you understand God's worldview, you understand grace. And you know what grace is? Grace is the fact that God knows every stupid mistake you're going to make in your life, and He still chose you. And He loves you. And He has a plan and purpose for your life, and He even weaves those mistakes, those difficulties, delays, dead ends, and disasters into His plan and purpose for you. That's the worldview you want to get, and you only get it from the Bible. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me today on Daily Hope as we look into the Bible to understand God's view of you. God's worldview will make a world of difference in your life.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called Reframing Your Worldview. And this is part four of a message called, How Do I Know What's True? It's taken from various portions of Scripture. Here's Rick.
Now, how do you know when a teacher is teaching the truth? For that matter, how do you know if I'm teaching the truth? Well, if you're teaching the Bible, first, does it square with the Bible? But there's a couple of other things that you need to look at. You might write these down. How do you know if a teacher's teaching the truth? Number one, examine their lifestyle. Examine their lifestyle. Figure out, does what they say match what they're doing? In other words, if you guys hear a guy on TV preaching about giving money to the poor and he's driving around in a Bentley, what's that say to you? He's not living what he's teaching. Okay? So you check out, are they hypocritical? Do they walk the talk? Does their life match what they say they believe? And if it doesn't, you don't need to pay any attention to them. In fact, I would say to you, never study a philosopher without knowing their biography. In fact, those of you who are parents, you teach your kids this. Never study a philosophy or a thinker without knowing their biography and knowing what did it do in their life. Because some of these guys who wrote the supposed great books, their lives were a basket case. It didn't even work in their own life, much less anybody else's. If you go and you study some of the great philosophers, some of them, many of them, either committed suicide or went insane. Well, I don't want a philosophy that that's the end result. For instance, Nietzsche, who was the first guy who said God is dead, Nietzsche went insane. Sigmund Freud committed suicide. Well, I'm not going to, he hated his father and all of his life resented and rejected. In fact, if you ever want to read a good book, I can't remember the name of it, 1999, the great eminent professor of psychology, Paul Vitz, wrote a book called, I think it's Faith of the Fatherless. And he studied the 100 most famous atheists in history. See, is there anything in common? And do you know what the 100 famous atheists in history had in common? They all hated their fathers. They were either abandoned by their father, ridiculed by their father, rejected by their father died at an early age, or they hated their father. Well, that makes sense, because if we're to pray, our Father who art in heaven, if God's like my Father, no thanks God. You ought to study the psychology of atheism and know why people do what they do. Never accept a belief without looking at the lifestyle behind it, because if it doesn't work in their life, you don't need to spend any time on it. Now, notice what Jesus said. Here are two, three verses up here on the screen. Matthew 7, beware of false teachers. You can detect them by the way they what? Act. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. In other words, don't look at what they say. Look at what they do. Talk is cheap. What do they do? In fact, Matthew 9:16 in the Message says this. Don't be impressed with charisma. Look for character. Who preachers are is the main thing, not what they say. Charisma is highly overrated, folks. Charisma has nothing to do with leadership, except it is an impediment to it. The three most charismatic leaders of the 20th century were also the worst. Mao, Stalin, and Hitler. Extremely charismatic men, but very evil men. And caused the result of millions and millions of deaths. Charisma is highly overrated. Look for character, not charisma. In fact, Matthew 7:20 says this: the best way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit produced. Look at their lifestyle. The reason I'm pushing this is because I care about it very deeply. First, I'm a teacher. I'm a leader. And second, I've had friends who died unnecessarily because they followed fake leaders. I grew up in the Bay Area and then later on up in Northern California in the Redwoods, in a little town called Redwood Valley. And there was a very charismatic man who moved into our little town and, quote, started a church. It was a cult. My next door neighbors got involved in that cult. And he was very, very charismatic. And they did whatever he told them to do. And eventually he led them all to move down to Guyana. And one day he led them all to drink poisoned Kool-Aid. And about 600-700 of them died in the jungle. His name was Jim Jones. I had friends who died in Guyana. So I'm telling you, just because somebody says they're from God doesn't mean they're from God. You should check them out. You should consider them. The other thing you do is listen for God's Spirit. When you're listening to a teacher, the Bible says in John 14, the Father will give you another helper. He's talking about his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Father will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God. So you say, when you're listening to me, God, is this guy talking the truth? Is he really telling the truth? And you listen, and you listen for the Spirit's confirmation. It's one of the other ways. Tom's going to come and talk about the fourth way we know truth.
A fourth way that you can know truth is through God's commandments, through what God tells us and the direction he gives us in the Bible. Look at what 2 Timothy 3:16 says. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what's true and make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It straightens us out. It teaches us to do what's right. Now, if I discover truth from the Bible, then how do I know the Bible's true? If you've ever asked that question, I honor you for asking that question. You should. How do I know that this book is true? I know it's true because of the difference it's made in my life. I know it's true because Jesus said it's true. But some of you might be asking, is there any like objective truth, objective evidence that shows me that the Bible is true? The answer is, yes, there is. There's just a world of objective evidence that says that this book is true. There is both external evidence and internal evidence. The external evidence that it's a historical book you can rely on, the internal evidence that there is the truth in this book. External evidence is things like the number of copies of the Bible from around the time when it was written. That's what historians look for to see if a book is accurate, is true. For instance, a book like Homer's Iliad, a lot of you had to read that in school. There's about 643 copies of that. They all, historians look back, they see all the copies, they compare them, they go, okay, that's what that book said. Or a book like Julius Caesar's Gallic Wars. There's only 10 copies of that. The earliest one of those is 1,000 years from when it was supposedly written. But historians still say, that's probably what the book said. How about the Bible? How many copies of the Bible? There are 5,366 copies of the Bible from when it was written and then on. Earliest from just 70 years afterwards. And let me tell you why that's important. It dispels what I would call an urban legend about the Bible. This urban legend is out there that somehow the Bible was passed down from generation to generation, and so it got changed as it was passed down, translated from this language to that language to this language. That's just not true. That's like alligators in the sewers of New York. It's just not true. The truth of the matter is, when translators translate the Bible, they go back to these 5,000 copies from right around the time when it was written, compare them, see how they all match, so we know it is what it is, and it says what it says. That's external evidence. External evidence is also stuff like archaeology. The cities are there, the places are there. You can go back and find them. I could go evidence after evidence after evidence. There is the external evidence in history. There's also the internal evidence of the Bible itself. Internal evidence is the fact that something can be trusted. One of the internal evidences that people look for is eyewitness accounts. If something's secondhand or thirdhand, I can't trust maybe what somebody said. But if it's an eyewitness account, I can trust it. In a court of law, if a prosecutor has two or three eyewitness accounts of something, he's got a pretty good chance of making his case. Well, the Bible is filled with eyewitness accounts. Moses was there when the Red Sea split. Joshua was there and watched the walls of Jericho fall. The disciples of Jesus stood in that upper room and all of a sudden saw the resurrected Jesus. It's filled with eyewitness accounts. The internal evidence of the Bible is also in the fact of how this book tells one story with consistency. Now, think of this with me. This book, the Bible, was written over a 1,500-year time span. It was written on three different continents by 40 different authors. Kings and shepherds and fishermen and tax collectors, people from every walk of life. And yet, it speaks with consistency on the most controversial subjects of the day. And yet, it tells one story from beginning to end. God's salvation and love for man and how he came into this world through Jesus Christ. No human being could have come up with that. It's an amazing example of the power of God to write that story for our lives. Now, as true as this book is, the truth of the matter is, if it stays on my shelf, it doesn't make much of a difference in my life. I like to say the Bible has no shelf life. I got to pull it down off the shelf so it can get in my life. And in your program, you see a 90-day through the New Testament plan. I encourage you, start on a 90-day through the New Testament plan. As you begin to read this truth, that's when it really begins to make a difference in your life.
The fifth and highest way that we know the truth is through Christ. Through creation, conscience, consideration, commandments, and Christ. God came to earth in human form to personify truth. The Bible says Jesus was full of grace and truth. He incarnated truth. He personalized truth. Truth is not a principle. Truth is a person. Truth is relational. Truth is someone you can relate to. Truth is Jesus Christ.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's message called How Do I Know What's True? It's from the series Reframing Your Worldview, and we're going to continue with more of it in just a moment. But right now, I'd love you to check out rickwarren.org. At rickwarren.org, you can sign up for Pastor Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. Thousands of folks have signed up for this, and they've benefited from Rick's personal and practical email devotional every day. And they've been encouraged, so you should sign up too. It could be a great encouragement. While you're at rickwarren.org, you can listen to his latest message, connect with him on Facebook, Twitter, shop our online store. It's packed with resources to help your walk with God. You can find us online today at rickwarren.org. There's more Daily Hope with Rick Warren just ahead.
The book entitled The Good Life by Pastor Rick's friend and mentor, the late Chuck Colson, asks the hard existential questions like, is there absolute truth? Where do we come from? What does it mean to live a good life? And more. In this revised version, Rick teamed up with Chuck and laid out six truth-filled, easy-to-follow lessons that will sharpen your Christian worldview, motivating you to live out your ministry of service and your mission to an unbelieving world. The Good Life by Chuck Colson is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Daily Hope radio broadcast. Request your copy when you call 800-600-5004 or visit rickwarren.org.
Once again, Pastor Rick.
Truth is not a principle. Truth is a person. Truth is relational. Truth is someone you can relate to. Truth is Jesus Christ. Now, one of the clearest and the most well-known verses of the Bible is the next verse in your outline. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now notice, he says I, not a religion, not a race, not a ritual, not rules and regulations. He says I. It's a person. Truth is a person. I am. Not I might be, not I hope to be, not I wish it could be, not I'd like to be. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says I am the truth. Not one truth, not part of the truth. He didn't say, I'm a little bit of the truth. He said, I am the truth. This, by the way, is what separates Jesus Christ from every other person on the planet, every other leader, every other faith. Muhammad said, I am a prophet of the truth. He said, I teach the truth. Buddha said, I am searching for the truth. He made a very famous statement at the end of his life, very famous, where he said, at the end of his life, I am still searching for the truth. The Vedas, which is the Hindu scripture, says truth is very elusive. You kind of got to look for it. You don't really know where it's here or there. And it's kind of postmodern, actually. And so you get all these different leaders saying, I'm looking for the truth. I'm teaching the truth. I point to the truth. I'm a prophet of the truth. And Jesus comes out and says, I'm it. I'm it. I am the truth. Now, that is an incredibly divisive statement because it's either right or it's wrong. He's either who he says he is, or he's the biggest liar in history. A lot of people say, oh, well, I think Jesus was a great teacher. Couldn't be. Couldn't be a great teacher. Impossible for Jesus to be a great teacher, because no great teacher would claim to be God if he wasn't. That's not good. In other words, if I stood up here today and said, my name's Rick Warren, I'm a good teacher, you might say, yeah, I can buy that. My name's Rick Warren, and I'm a man of God. Okay? My name's Rick Warren. I speak for God. Yeah, okay, fine. I'm a prophet of God. Well, I don't know about that one. My name is Rick Warren. Oh, and by the way, I'm God. Now, if I said that, would that change anything in our relationship? Well, duh, because all of a sudden, you got to make a decision. If I stand up here and say, my name is Rick Warren. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's not a snowball's chance in hell you're going to get into heaven except through me. Hello. Now, that means one of three things. I'm either a kook, like the guy who thinks he's Napoleon, or a fried egg, or I'm a con man, and I'm just going to try to get your money or something, or I am who I say I am. Those are the options. What is Jesus when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Nobody comes to the Father, God, except through me. Okay, he's either conning 2.3 billion people in the world right now who have totally believed a lie, or he is, he was nuts, he didn't know what he's talking about, or he's who he said he was. It doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room. There's a guy here today, I don't know, here in one of the venues, you've been coming to Saddleback for, I don't know, a long time. Your husband, or your wife, your girlfriend, somebody's brought you here, and you've been sitting on the fence for a long time. And you think you're in because you come to church, but you're not in yet because you haven't put your trust in Jesus yet. You're not across the line. It's time for you to get off the fence. This is your day. Be a man, make a decision. You know, I told the people up at TED, I said, everybody's betting their life on something. Okay? Everybody's betting their life. An atheist is betting that there is no God. He better be right, or he's going to have a big mistake. I am betting my life. I willingly tell you this. I'm betting my life that Jesus was who he said he was. What are you betting your life on? Whatever it is, you better have a good reason for it. Have you examined the evidence? Have you checked it out? Have you seriously given it thought? Or you just, well, I don't have time to get into it. Well, that's a big mistake. You need to step across the line and say, I'm in. Jesus said, I am the way. And the Bible says in John 3:33, in the New Living Translation, those who believe him discover that God is true. Now, quick, just write this down. I won't even talk about it. What do I do with the truth once I've discovered it? Four things. Just write real quickly. Number one, believe it. Believe it. The Bible tells us, continue to believe this truth and stand in it firmly. Believe it. Number two, do it. Truth is not just an intellectual exercise. It's something you do. You practice it. You apply it. You live it. You obey it. The Bible tells us, obey the truth that we've learned already. And before you start learning any other new truth, why don't you start doing the ones you already know? Believe it. Do it. Number three, stand for it. Stand for it. Don't be ashamed in a relevant or relational postmodern world that says, oh, it doesn't really matter. Stand for truth. The Bible tells us our responsibility is to never oppose the truth, but to stand for it at all times. We need to be people of the truth in a relativistic age. And then number four, spread it. Spread the truth. The Bible says we must support believers who go on trips like this so we can work together in spreading the truth. Let everything you do reflect your love of the truth and the fact that you are in dead earnest about it.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In just a moment, Rick will be back to share a final thought. But first, be sure to visit the Daily Hope website. It's rickwarren.org. Log on there today and you can get the entire message you just heard. You can get the series, message notes, social media links, and sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope devotional. Log on now, rickwarren.org. Also, we want to let you know about a special gift we have to say thanks for your donation to support this Daily Hope broadcast. It's a powerful book by the late Chuck Colson. It's called The Good Life.
As Pastor Rick shares in the foreword of this helpful book, Chuck Colson was relentless in his pursuit of truth in every area of life, and Chuck brings this passion to bear in The Good Life. And he helps you answer hard existential questions like, is there truth? Is it knowable? What difference does it make? And what does it mean to live a good life? Chuck asks and answers these questions in a way that can literally change your life and the lives of those around you. The Good Life is our gift to thank you for your donation of support to this Daily Hope broadcast. So please request your copy when you call us today, 1-800-600-5004. And we hope you might consider giving just a little more today to help support the program in your area. We are 100% supported by listeners just like you. So we really appreciate your gifts, prayers, calls, emails, your testimonies, and more. And we'd love to pray for you too. So please give us a call today. 1-800-600-5004. And now here's Rick Warren with a final thought.
Now, all this week we've been talking about how to know what's true. But what do you do with the truth once you've discovered it? The Bible tells us we're to do four things with the truth. First, I believe the truth. I continue to believe it, and I continue to put my confidence in it. Second, I live the truth. It's not just an intellectual exercise. Truth is something you do. Let me say that again. Truth is something you do. You practice the truth. You apply the truth. You live the truth. You obey the truth. So I believe it, and I live it. The third thing we're supposed to do with the truth is stand for it. You see, in today's world, where many people don't even believe the truth, don't even believe that the truth exists, somebody needs to stand up and say, this is always right and this is always wrong. This is true and this is false. Now, there's some people who say, well, there is no absolute truth. And when they say that, you should ask, are you absolutely sure? Because they've just made a contradictory statement. They've made an absolute statement saying that there are no absolutes. That is absurd. It is nonsense. And there are some things in life that are always true, and there's some things that are not true. For instance, someone could say, I believe the moon is made of cheese, and someone could say, I believe the moon is made of rock. Those are not equally valid. One is true, and one is not. Some people could say, I believe Elvis is God, and he's still alive today. And others would say, I believe Elvis was a great musician. One is true, and one is not. And then finally, do we not only believe it and live it and stand for it, we are to spread the truth. We are to work together in disseminating the truth through all the world. Titus 2:7 says this in the Bible, let everything you do reflect your love of the truth. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot in the Bible I don't understand. There's a lot in the Bible that makes me uncomfortable. But that doesn't mean it's not true. Truth is often uncomfortable. The truth sets you free, but it often makes you miserable first. Sometimes we need to hear things we don't want to hear. The Bible doesn't just contain the truth. It is the truth. So I follow it no matter whether I understand it, no matter whether it makes sense to me and my small-mindedness, or whether it feels good. It is true. Now, as we close today, I'd like to ask you to pray with me. And I'm going to say a prayer. As I pray this prayer, if you agree with this prayer, you just say, me too, God, even wherever you are listening to this right now. Dear God, today I want to be a person of the truth. I don't want to be a person of the lie. I want to be a person who lives the truth, believes the truth, stands for the truth, spreads the truth. And I want to begin by first saying, Jesus, I believe you are the truth. I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I want your truth in my life, and I want you in my life, and I'm putting my trust in you, Jesus Christ. As much as I know how, I invite you to come into my life and fill my life with your truth. Replace the lies I've been told all my life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you let me know about it? Just email me, rick@rickwarren.org, and tell me how you prayed that prayer and how God is using God's word to teach you the truth, to grow in the truth, to live for it, to stand for it, and to spread it. Thanks for joining me today. Be sure to join me next time as we continue to look at God's word, which is the truth, for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.